tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. Can be reborn, 'cause I'm one. I know I need to lift my eyes up, but I'm too weak. Life just won't let up, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, and you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
I hope you dance. mistake, but it's worth making. Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you do. Ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Buddy, you're listening to The Hope Show, and I'll be hosting today, and I got a couple guests, Annie and Rick and the other Rick, and some really wonderful friends from the networks, and I hope you like that song right there. Beverly, she's doing the grandmother thing today. She got grandbabies keeping her busy right at the moment, so it was either play a podcast or do a special show for her, and of course you know which one won out there. Anyway, so it's great to have you guys. You know, I am so in love with my wife. I am so inspired by her, and she gives me hope. You know, and she's my rock. She's my anchor.
Aww.
And so,
how long have we been together?
Oh man, shoot, I can't even remember. It's been such a long time. Well over 11, 12 years, something like
wow.
that.
Wow.
But she's just a wonderful soul, and I hope that people out there, listening on her shows, she works hard. She spends at least 20 hours a week, putting the show prep together and all that kind of
wow.
stuff. And she's got a lot of good messages to share with people, you know.
Awesome.
Absolutely, every week.
And as far as I'm concerned, you know, anytime that you can put an ounce of hope in the heart of any individual out there in the world, then you haven't wasted time. What do you guys think?
I tried to do that all the time.
I was just saying stuff to you for a couple minutes, and I realized that my knob was down on my mic.
How long have you been doing radio, honey?
Oh, I was trying to say your wife is great. She's got to be, I bet you she's your best friend. And it's going to be 20 years with Annie and I on August 1st, you know. We were thinking about doing something crazy like doing the wedding on the show and having some webcams outside on the dock and the back patio here to, like, make the whole... whole wedding celebration like a live stream.
Oh, that's not crazy.
And invite guests from around, you know, all of the hosts and fans to Skype with us and, you know, wish us...
Yeah, that's not crazy. We did that on my birthday.
Friday, by the way. That meant on a Friday.
Is it? It's a Friday. Wow. Wow, and then we could go away for the weekend like a honeymoon.
Out
in the backyard, we'll just have a bonfire and go camping.
Yeah.
We did that.
To the beach, maybe.
We did that on my birthday one time, and I got to have my birthday party with people all over the globe. People in Ireland and Scotland.
I just did that. I celebrated my 50th like that on March 12th.
Well, happy 50th.
It was like a surprise party. They Skyped me at like 12:30. 12:30 when I just turned 50. So then I was up with them all night, and then I had to do a show. We did our show. I had John Durash from National Liberty Alliance on. And
Vic was happy. Vine wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't sleep for a couple
Neither
days.
Neither did I.
No, because fun, I had a show for him at night.
Yeah. And then I was on with Rick and Bill Samsel and Terry was there too, right?
I
believe.
Remember, huh?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's an amazing group of people over here. And that song, I Hope You Dance, it reminds us of our friend Tina Ayer who crossed in the station fire. She was a dancer.
One of the most amazing people. Talk about people that can make people feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
Even when her life was at its worst, she always had a smile.
Yeah, she always brought the best out of people.
You know what?
We think of death as being like, ooh, a scary dark, the end. They put your body in the ground or ashes. But,
she's with us.
But if you look at it as being like that they're going somewhere else to the better place, then why feel bad for them? We should feel bad for us who got to stick around and rise to the occasion because I truly feel... Actually, I don't feel it. I know it.
Well, I think
that's
that...
I know this is the greatest generation.
I think
because
that...
we're the ones that are going to do what needs to be done for humanity to move forward.
I agree. I think that the mourning process isn't necessarily, I don't know the words I'm trying to say, but it's mostly an internal thing in yourself that, you're going to miss this person because you're still going to be here on this physical plane. Not that the person isn't better off or anything, but, it'll be some time before you ever see them again. I'm a firm believer that it's not over once the last breath comes out of you. I believe that there's a whole lot more. And, that comes from my own spiritual belief. And, so with that said, I'm truly saddened whenever we lose anybody, I think that everybody is so important to the world. And, family, you take for granted your family when you should never take for granted even your friends, It's not like they're always going to be there, you know what I mean?
That's right. That's absolutely right. I went through a series of events over a short period of time where I lost my older brother, I lost my dad, and then I lost my mom, and then I lost my favorite uncle, all in a really short period of time.
Wow.
Yeah. And, I came to the realization that, the mourning process, it was something that I had created myself. Because I've had an out-of-body experience, and I understand that I am a being of energy, and I had the consciousness to see myself outside of myself. So I know that it's not over when this body breathes its last breath. It's just not feasible to me that it would be.
I agree with you 100%, brother. I tell you
well,
something.
It's either one way or the other. Either you have a light inside of you that is your soul and has everything encoded that you've experienced. And it leaves and goes somewhere else, flying, down this tunnel after you hover over yourself and notice you're gone. Wow, that's me down there. And then, you go for your little tunnel ride through the light.
Well, Let me point out something that I've said before.
Or we're not really here right now, is what I was going to say. It's one way or the other. Either your soul travels to back to the Creator or a different place, or you're not really here right now. Your actual self is somewhere else.
Well, I'm not really here right now.
And you are living your life through this human biological meat suit.
Well, however...
So when you die, you could go back to where you're at and... Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, regardless of all that, how we got there or whatever, if you want to dwell in positive energy, then you have to expel positive energy. And coming from my belief, there's a thing in the book that I call, you know, I base my beliefs on, and it says that no man will know the time or date that he'll come like a thief in the night, you know. However you look at that, death will come like a thief in the night. You know, nobody knows when they're going to die. It just happens.
Right.
And
hey,
so
while you're saying that, the day after my 50th birthday, Annie gives me a plate of food, wakes me up. So I take the food, and instead of sitting up straight in bed to eat, I just leaned on my side, and I put a couple of bites in my mouth, and I looked over at Annie, who is getting the dog's food. The dog Shih Tzu eats what we eat, and getting her plate ready, and she's looking at the food as she's putting it in the plates, and she can't see that I'm choking. And 3 seconds went by, and I can't breathe in or out. So my mind just said, I need to Heimlich maneuver myself, and I looked around, and I don't see nothing. So I threw my body off the bed, hoping when I hit the floor, it'll unlodge or cause my body to jolt. Now, it did unlodge what was in my throat, and I breathed, but my head hit the bottom of the nightstand table, and it was a bar.
Ouch.
I had a concussion, man. I was throwing up all night and dry heaving, and I didn't want to go to the hospital and be stuck in an MRI machine radiated to all hell. So I wrote it out and everything, but you never know when it's going to come. You could go to have a snack or take a sip of your coffee, and you could choke.
Let me finish my point before I forget it. Anyway, with that said, and I'm sorry you had to go through that. That sounds like a terrible ordeal, but I'm glad that you're still with us.
That I have no choice as to whether my heart keeps beating or I keep breathing.
Anyway, go ahead, Chad.
Since that none of us know the time or date that the world will end or what our lives will end personally or whatever, if you have any love in your heart and you want positive going into this world, then that means from the time now till the time that doomsday shows up or the time that you die, you know, you have to create that world for not only yourself but those around you and your children and your children's children's future. So we can't sit around and dwell on what could happen or what's going to happen. What we need to dwell on is how we can make this all better, this a better experience for not only ourselves but those that are coming after us. And so, you know, that time in between now and doomsday.
Yeah, but part of that, Shaz, part of unbrainwashing people is showing them how they've been brainwashed. So, like, our whole show is bringing on guests that are expert in Illuminati mind control.
Yeah, but see, brother,
satanic ritual abuse.
That's where...
Do it in a way, though, if you notice, I'm sure you've heard some of our shows, we do it with no fear and in a jovial, fun manner.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Eustace Mullins talks about the Illuminati and the Federal Reserve. He's not freaking people out or getting mad and upset, screaming their head off.
But brother, the key to the whole deal is that you are uplifting souls and you are giving them hope. You're giving them a reason to continue. You know, that person that's on the side of the bridge getting ready to jump off and take their own life. You know, I want to reach out to them. I want to tell them how important they really are. I want
right.
to
if
give them.
Right, if Rick and Annie were there, we talked the guy off the bridge.
Hey, yeah, I've done that.
I've done that.
Or me and Rick would grab him, have Annie distract him, and pull him off to make sure he doesn't fall.
I've done that. They were on the bridge, but I had actually gone traveling miles in my car.
Annie, you've had tons of people on Facebook that you've befriended in tough times, right? And they've told you if not be talking to you, they would have killed themselves.
Yeah, well, I actually drove 60 miles to someone's house so they wouldn't commit suicide.
And that's wow. That's what needs to be done. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is how these networks are so important, because I've seen it. I've seen the hearts of all these different individuals that come online, from all the different show hosts to the guests and people in the chat room and such. And I've seen that when they notice that one person is down, they will jump on the bandwagon to lift that person up. And so When I talk to you guys, I can't even begin to tell you how honored that I am, how humbled that I am, that you're even willing to share a bit of your life and your stories with me, and it uplifts me. It gives me hope, you know?
Me?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, and we're not that special, though.
No, not at all.
The message is Rick and Annie is all of you guys out there.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. But
we're the David versus Goliath.
But see, brother,
I'm nothing special.
But see, listen to me. You guys are special. Everyone out there is special, and that's what they need to know. They need to know that hold on.
Because God bless them.
I know. I understand that, and I agree. I understand that. I understand that, and I agree. I agree with you. But what I'm saying is, God didn't create nothing by accident. God didn't create, he didn't build junk. You know, in my lab, when I put my projects together, I used recycled materials, and I put it together with junk. God knew exactly what he was doing.
Perverted stuff.
Yeah.
Everything. Not God. God might have created Jeffrey Dahmer as a little baby that was without sin or guilt, but the Illuminati turned that freak into a...
But listen, this is my point. You know, my point is this. That we were created by an amazing creator. That's coming from my personal spiritual beliefs. I don't know how anyone else out there believes personally, but this is from my own personal spiritual beliefs. We were created by an awesome creator who gave us the potential to uplift one another, to be the caretakers, the persons that we are servants to one another. There's no
shepherds.
No man or no woman is above one another. And so with that said, everyone out here is special, and that's what each and every individual out there needs to know. When a person feels themselves to be so worthless that they're willing to take their own life, if we lose that life, we lose a huge piece of humanity. We lose a part of us. Each and every individual out there is a part of us. They are not only our family, our brothers and sisters, but they are literally a part of all creation. And we need to take care of them.
Now you understand the massive loss that the world has suffered because of ritual sacrifice called abortion.
Well, and
all of those souls with ideas and are contributing to society were ripped from us when they ripped them from the womb.
Yeah, and that's not only counting those poor souls that didn't even get a chance.
You wouldn't be on the radio right now.
Those folks. Those babies, they didn't even have a chance to even start their life, you know, and so they were cheated. We were cheated. But it's not only that. It's all the starvation going on that is not necessary. It's all the wars going on that are not necessary. It's the stupidity, the lack of common sense that these supposed global elite / leaders of the world...
They have no empathy. Anything for the buck, and if it involves blood and death, well, they offer that to their father, the devil. So.
If anybody doesn't believe that there is evil in the world, all you have to do is turn the news on in the morning, and you're going to see evil. I mean, that's all they talk about. I want to see when they come on there and say
state of fear.
I want to see when they come on there and say something like, local man and woman Rick and Annie did something wonderful for their community, or local man Rick, he saved a life, and I want to hear stories like that. I don't want to hear continuous beat you down.
Yeah, that's not what the news is for. Well, to keep us in a state of fear and panic.
I understand
so
that.
We feel we need the government.
I understand that, but here's where the difference lies. Awake Radio, Shake and Wake Radio, No Borders Radio, Shaziz Radio. I mean, I could go on and on and on with the networks. This is where the difference lies. We are literally stomping the mainstream media in the ratings on a daily basis. I mean, they are falling so far behind that they now they are getting to the point where they're panic stricken because their ratings are dropping, which means their money is dropping. And so now they are starting to talk about things that we talk about.
We could see blessings in numbers coming our way, like that would just totally astound us. It would be like the numbers at the gas pump. You know, when you're pumping gas and the numbers are rolling by, imagine if we were getting traffic around the world like that because everybody abandoned mainstream media and everybody said, hey, we're listening to Awake Radio now. Imagine if the whole world, or a good chunk of it, got on the bandwagon.
Yeah, but
like
there
that.
Is numbers out there that you know. Right. There's people on smartphones, Rick, that I tried to tell you that
you
don't know that I'm listening.
Right, and you know the other thing, people are afraid to come in the chat room. Ooh, I don't want people to know your IP address. They already know who you are and your IP. And they want to get rid of 80 to 90% of us, so there's nothing to lose. You need to talk and stand up and be counted now while you can.
Yeah, that's
before
what I'm saying.
Becomes like
you know
Russia.
What? I watch the numbers. I know the numbers behind the scenes. All right. So I know how many people are listening, and it would surprise the majority of all the people out there who think that they know. But the fact of the matter is, You like Rick said, people need to get in these chat rooms and in these different deals and communicate with one another. Or if you don't come on this website, go on another website that you do trust, or get on Skype.
Hey, and that's the other thing. By getting all these networks together that simulcast or play rebroads, we're building kind of the way the corporations got together and became so strong.
Yeah,
the reason why Mako, I used to be an auto body person. The reason why Mako can paint a car cheaper than anybody else and do not a half bad job, except I would mask it myself before giving it to them, because they're sloppy on the masking job. But it's because all of these different Mako auto body shops using that franchise name are all pooling their resources to buy the paint in a big amount. So they can buy all the mixable things to mix the paint coats for every color imaginable at a better rate than a mom and pop can. You follow me?
Well, and that's why...
So all of us networks getting together and building this network thing bigger and bigger and bigger with more smaller networks, we can become like what the United States was, a whole bunch of states that got together and said, together we're going to do this, instead of just being the country of Florida or the country of New England or the country
so
of...
So with that said, would you agree that the phrase, united we stand and divided we fall, falls right in there because of the fact that they may take one network down, but every time they do, two or three more pop up?
Yeah,
and
sure,
so,
right. They can't... Unless they kill the whole internet, they can't stop us.
Yeah,
right?
But see, if they kill the whole internet, we'll just fire it back up because we have the technology to do so.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, yeah. To me, the biggest thing to me, and I say this on my show quite a bit, is that people need to get out and know their neighbors. People need to get out and know who lives with around them in their community.
Amen, brother.
And hey, you know, you also, you know, let's prepare people for how they might be received by their neighbors. If that's the case, at least you try. Don't let that bother you. You know, because you might talk to somebody who might listen to a little of what you say, and when you first say, tell them about Illuminati or Federal Reserve, go do a little research on it, and that we're about to lose our sovereignty, I think maybe you should take a look at that, and we might want to start a neighborhood watch. The reaction you might not get, you might not like it.
But
wait a second. But give that person a few weeks to think about what you said, and maybe they type into Google or YouTube Federal Reserve or Illuminati, and they watch a few minutes of a video, and then they click on another video on the right hand side, and they watch that one, and then they see another one that says FEMA camps in America, and they click on that one, and they see another one that says Illuminati, and they click on that one, and they see another one that says Project Bluebeam, the alien demons, and they click on that one, then they're one of us.
So in other words, don't expect that
when you toss this info at somebody for the first time, that they're going to agree and go, wow, thank you very much. It might take a few weeks of them doing some research. Then they'll come back around and say, hey, thanks, man, you were right.
But
and they'll wake up their two friends, and they'll wake up two friends, and they'll wake up two friends.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and there's one thing that needs to be addressed in that whole situation is, I remember the first time that I was woken up to anything other than what I believed to be my reality. I got so deep into the rabbit hole, I got paranoid of epic proportions. And your average Joe will do the same thing, you know.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that on what Rick was saying...
Oh, my God, there's somebody at the door. Andy, grab the gun, quick.
Listen... One of the things...
The mailman came to the house of the electric guy one day. We were all freaked out thinking the bad guys know that we know.
Listen,
they're coming for us.
One of the things that Rick was talking about getting out, talking to your neighbor, I had an experience with this in a small town. There were some really corrupt police officers in a small town. I used to be a police officer way back in the day. And whenever I come into town and I notice that everyone in town would run up inside their house, and I was trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. And as I got to know in this community, there was nobody in this entire town that was talking to each other. They were afraid of the cops. They didn't like each other. And I started going around talking to each and every individual and kind of...
Serpical.
Listen. I started talking to these individuals, and before it was all said and done, I not only had these people out there talking to each other again, but I had them out there helping one another and knowing who their neighbor was. These folks, you wouldn't believe the turnaround. And whenever I come in town, they'd look out the window and see who was in town, whether it was me or one of the other seven officers down there. And if it was me, they'd stay out to say hi to me. They would be helping me. I would come in there. I would see neighbors that normally wouldn't even, look at each other. We're out there helping each other clean their yards up and stuff.
You're a good old boy.
This
man.
Is what
when we hear your voices is. I was saying that when I first started listening to your show, when we first came here, I said to Annie one morning. I said, he reminds me of somebody, his voice and his style of talking, and I can't put my finger on it. And then it hit me. Remember that TV show, not a sheriff, I forgot, but McLeod, Dennis Weaver?
I think I remember the show.
He's a marshal.
Dennis Weaver.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played Officer McLeod, or Detective McLeod, or whatever. He wore like a suede coat that had like a big furry collar on it, a white.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. It was a good show.
Yeah,
but you know the thing is that the key to that whole deal is, you know, to make the world a better place, it means to throw positive pebbles into the pond. You know, you start in your own pond, and that spreads out to other communities. Because if somebody from another town is looking into your town, and they see that everyone in that town, they're getting along, they're getting things accomplished, and it's just a wonderful place to be, they want to adopt whatever it is that's going on in that town with their own town. You know what I'm saying?
Some of my guests, Bruce Campbell... National Defense Party, AmericanDefenseParty.com. He's always talking about police oversight committees, and neighborhood watches and emergency preparedness with your neighbors. You don't have to come right out and launch them into vampire ritual sacrifice bill. You know, you talk to them a little bit about how's the economy going and the reason why the dollar's losing value, look up Federal Reserve and let them go off on their little journey down the rabbit hole. And you don't give them too much. So this way, if they do turn into a rat, you didn't go overboard saying too much to them. But if they do look and do research, they're going to find out you were telling the truth. But he talks all about how if we're going to take this country back, we're not going to take it from Washington on down. We're going to take it by changing our neighborhoods,
exactly,
and our towns and our states and wider and then being interconnected where we all abide by the same unalienable rights.
Yep,
so this
exactly.
way, D.C. or FEMA or any shadow government can never take away what we refuse to give up.
You know, knowing your neighbor is protecting your neighbor. You know, your neighbor might have health problems, you know. Instead of calling the law on your neighbor for not mowing their grass, why don't you just go over there and see if they have a problem and I offer to mow it for them, you know. It,
yeah.
That's the way it should be. And that's
a beautiful man.
I think at some point in history back in the old days, you guys remember the phrase barn raising?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I've done it.
And then, and tell them about that story. Why did you go through the process of helping somebody else build their own barn?
Well, because they were friends. I mean, they were part of the neighborhood, and you know, you get people that move into your neighborhood and they don't have the resources to be able to do things on their own, or they're so wrapped up in what's going on in their life that they don't have the time. I mean, it's just being a good neighbor, being a good human being to go out there and give them a hand.
If we had a world order that was run by a king, like a man called Yeshua Jesus, whenever someone was in need, everyone would be at that person's house. An elderly couple got hurt or someone can't work, then they need food. We already know about it, and you know, they open the door and there's a whole bunch of a stream of people coming, like at the end of It's a Wonderful Life, handing money towards the star of, you know, the Jimmy Stewart character. George Bailey. Hey, George, I heard you were in trouble. Here's anything for you, George, you know.
Not a lot of people like that, and I'll tell you why. I lived up in Rhode Island, and we had a really bad snowstorm, and it was just me and my mother living there in the house. It took us 3 days to dig our cars out, and you know what the people across the street, how the snowblower did? They just sat there and watched us.
Well, wow. That's a shame.
See, you can't judge everyone by just one person's actions. So I think that's the name of this show too. Is the Hope Show, and
yep.
I think there's a lot of hope out there.
Yep.
I just find it amazing.
Yeah, most people would have said, "Hey, let me get that for you."
They knew I had several homes.
Your mother would have been like, "Well, here, take $20 for it." They could have made, because that's how her mom was.
Let me say something on Jesus for a second. All right. This is the way that I feel about the whole deal. Now, I would love to be able to walk the path perfectly as Jesus did. No man was without sin, with the exception of Jesus. All right.
Still
no,
on.
Nobody. Yeah. Okay. But
not possible
until Jesus returns. If people could walk that path, that the you know even the non-believers out there
try to walk the path.
Listen,
that's all we can do is try.
But listen, when you fall, you repent, get up,
and keep going.
Let me finish. Listen, even the non-believers out there, if you don't believe Jesus was real, or if you don't believe in the Bible or whatever, regardless of all that, just take the story itself in itself, just the story of Jesus and what he preached about taking care of one another and forgiveness and so on and so forth. If you tried to walk that path with your neighbors and your friends and your family, what do you got to lose? I mean, honoring your mother, honoring your father, what's wrong with that, you know? Maybe your father and your mother weren't very good characters, but does that mean that you need to disrespect them? No, it don't mean that. It means that you
and
can...
And part of honoring them, too, is shining with what you do in your life.
Yeah, but listen to me.
Because they brought you here.
Listen to me, because this is a really good point when it comes to Jesus. I said earlier in the show that no man knows the time or day that he would come like a thief in the night, which, you know, like we said, death will come like a thief in the night. You never know what's going to happen. But in that meantime, we have been given the gifts. We have been given the technology. We've been given the resources to take care of one another. And so what do? Do we lay down to evil right now because the world is all bad and there's corrupt people in the world trying to kill us all? Or do we take what we've got and we share it with our brothers and sisters? If we've got an extra piece of bread in our loaf and we give it to a hungry person, or if we have an extra blanket or an extra shirt or an extra pair of shoes.
We can turn evil into good.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
We can turn evil and show and use the experience to show our Creator what we're made of and how much metal we got when it comes to defending somebody else.
So by using the gifts, that we were given by, in my belief, our God, our Creator, our salvation, by using these gifts right now, all the way up until the time of the return of, I believe, the Messiah, then we are actually honoring our God and honoring our Savior by doing so. And this is coming from my belief. So I know that not everybody out there believes the way that I believe. But even if you took away all that and you just look at the basic Ten Commandments or good rules to live by. If you kill somebody, they're going to want to kill you. If you steal from somebody, somebody's going to steal from you. Call it karma, call it whatever you want. But the fact remains that anytime you do something bad, you put negativity into this world. Anytime you do something good, you put positivity in this world. And until doomsday shows up, you should try to live your life and be the best you possibly can, whether you are a believer or a non-believer. We're all in the same boat. And when this boat sinks, guess what? You go down with me, I go down with you, we all go down together from all race, all colors, all backgrounds, beliefs, political views or whatever. This boat sinks with all hands on board. Does anybody disagree with that?
Not at all.
And apparently it seems like we're in an ice field on the Titanic and there are even plots to maybe blow the ship up.
So, yeah, so...
Hey, on that note, I got something beautiful to play that I figured you guys and the listeners would like to hear. Would you like to hear it? It's 3 minutes long.
Is it a song?
It's a poem. You'll love it. Here it is. If you don't like it, I'll stop it.
All right.
Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career. However humble, it is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love. For in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness beyond a wholesome discipline. Be gentle with yourself.
You are a child.
You are a child of the universe. No less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul, with all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams. It is still a beautiful world. Be careful. Strive to be happy.
I like it. I like it. You know, I'm going to say this. I think that the world is just such an amazing thing. It's such an amazing piece of art. See, our creator wasn't just a carpenter. He was an awesome mechanic. He was an artist of epic proportions. He was a mathematician of astronomical proportions. You know, each little person in this world, as small as you may think you are part of a machine that if it was allowed to function the way that it was created, would be a wonderful deal. We're talking about heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak.
Yeah, we only use it like what, 1/20th of our brain?
Yeah, but
imagine if we could use all of it.
Exactly.
We probably wouldn't need spaceships to travel. We could just travel there.
But here's the thing: if we were all to do like you said, and we work together, that the possibilities are endless. What we could create, that one little gear in that machine. You take one gear out of a clock, and the clock doesn't function any longer. It's messed up. You know, without that one gear, that clock, it has the potential to tell us time all day long, you know, and all year, you know. But if you take that one gear out, the clock is not functioning like it should. You put that one gear back in there, and then now you have a clock. So each and every individual out there from all different nations are that one little gear, that one little missing piece of the puzzle that together can bring the entire world hope, peace, and love. You know, and this is why I say what it is I say. This is why I keep on doing it. I feel so strong about putting this message out there. Beverly's Hope Show, to me, it's not a worthless time, a waste of time. You know, even if you're a non-believer, you can find some little nugget of hope and some little nugget of knowledge in there that will help and benefit your life. To me, Beverly is that one little gear that without that one little gear, all of this what we're talking about and dreaming about bringing a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak, isn't possible. I need you. I need Rick. I need Annie. I need all of you out there to work with me, and I work with you, and we be servants to one another and make our world a better place. We're all of like minds. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing what it is that we're doing. But it has to be said that one individual out there who you look at and maybe you think that they got big ears, or maybe you think that they're fat, or maybe you think that they're stupid, you discount that one person. You discount yourself. Does anybody disagree with that?
I don't disagree with that at all.
And we all have to work on our prejudices against, you know, and the way that we think, because some people have bad, different packages that are sick, or they look different, or something happened to them. You know, obviously, the Illuminati has been doing stuff with our food that some people react and become virtually obese. So it's not really their faults. We should see them as victims.
Do you remember what Jesus said in the Bible about the miracles?
Yes.
What did he say?
Well, my favorite story is Jesus is coming into town, and there's a woman who's telling people she's sick. And she says, if I could only touch his garment, I know, I have faith that I'd be healed. So as he's coming through town like a rock star with hundreds of people mobbing around him, Jesus, save me, I'm sick, or heal me. This lady can't get through, so she crawls on her hands and knees at foot or knee level through the crowd, reaches over and touches him. And Jesus stops and he says, "Who just touched me? I felt the power go out of me, so to speak." And the apostles must have thought, "What are you, nuts? There's a whole bunch of people touching you right now." It was her faith.
Yep.
That he felt.
But there's lies the secret, you know. Annie, you had something you wanted to say.
I forgot.
Well, therein lies the secret.
I do that to people at times. I'm sorry.
I'm just not awake yet.
What did Jesus?
By the way, stay tuned. An hour and 4 minutes from now, we're going to continue this Saturday marathon of roundtable. So anybody who would like to join Shake and Wake and Rick and possibly Bill Samsel and maybe Shaz will stick around a little longer.
What did Jesus say about miracles and what you could do?
He said, "You can do all these things that I can do if you only have faith."
Amen, brother. Right. And so,
see, and
there you go.
That's where the New Age. That's where the New Age tries to counterfeit and take some of what God says and pervert it and twist it.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I agree.
They claim that each man is their own God.
No.
But they're not giving the Creator the credit that's where they got it from.
I agree with you.
That whole I am God thing, which is of Luciferian type rebellion.
I agree with
you. New Age. Jesus said almost the same thing, but it's with faith upon him.
I agree with you 100%. We're on the same page with this. But what I'm trying to say to people out there, you know, regardless of what your background, what your beliefs are, in my belief, Jesus told me if I believe and I have faith in him that I could do these same miracles.
I can do all things.
And then
right.
Even if you're a non-believer, you know that getting out helping your neighbor is throwing that positive pebble in the pond. And so when you throw that positive in the pebble of the pond, you are doing good for humanity. If you believe in yourself, if you believe in goodness and hope and love and peace, you can uplift somebody. Your words are so powerful that you can take a man to the depths of hell by telling him continuously, "You're worthless, you're worthless, you're worthless." Or you can raise him up to the highest points of heaven by telling him, "You are wonderful, you are great, you are good." You know, and I'm not saying that I'm God. I wouldn't want to be God. That comes with too much responsibility. But I understand that God gave me the strength, the power, the belief, the faith to do what this book says that can be done. And if we are, before doomsday gets here, before the return of the Messiah, if we do what... Here's my example. I'm a father. If I leave my children in the house alone and I tell them, "Okay, these are my rules. Follow these rules and everything will go well. Make sure that when I come back, the house is in order and everybody's getting along." When I come back through the house, if I see that my kids have totally disregarded all that I have said, the house is full of trash and everybody's fighting and fussing, I, as a father, I am angry, and my wrath comes down. And so I feel the same way that when, if my God returns and we haven't taken everything that we've been given to put towards doing what we were told to do, doing what we should be doing, morally speaking or whatever, that when that happens and the return comes about and we don't have our house in order, then we pay the price. We go through the judgment. We personally, every individual has to answer for their own indiscretions. But what I'm saying, until that time shows up, which we all know, according to any of the believers, it's going to happen. You look down the path, regardless of whether you're a believer or non-believer. On the path that we are on a path to sure destruction. If it
right,
comes,
so when all that's really going to... Put it this way, death ain't the end, and no matter what happens to us, those that are on the side of the Creator and not the Destroyer have nothing to worry about. But what's going to take place is when this ship sinks, we're going to find out who's going to give up their seat or help someone less powerful than them put a life jacket on, and the acts of heroicness that are going to take place.
Yep. And this is why I say that, you know, don't live for doomsday, live for today, and do what you can to the best of your ability to make somebody's life better. Even if it's not your own life, make somebody else's life a bit better and try to help us clean house, because, you know, doomsday will come at some point. In my belief, our God will return at some point. And when that happens,
the world needs a spanking, doesn't it? Well, the world needs, you made the example of a
father. I think the world needs a hug. I think the world needs
both. It needs a spanking, then a hug. And say, you know why I had to do that, right?
Yeah, but, you know...
You know why I had to do that, right? Did you learn your lesson? Yes, we did. Okay.
At the end of the day, because we have been given free will, no matter how you want to look at it, whether you're a New Ager or whether you're a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Christian, or whatever, at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat. At the end of the day, the path that we're on...
Some people chose evil, you know?
Yeah, they did, but... At the end of the day, the decisions that you make are your own. You own your own mistakes. And until we as humanity realize we can solve starvation, we can stop wars, we can use all the combined knowledge to do things right, we can get our house in order. Until that happens, the misery that we live in is a self-fulfilled prophecy of epic proportions, and we will literally destroy ourselves if we don't get our act together. Does anybody disagree with that?
Not at all. And it's the little things that matter, you know. People think, you know, well, what can I do? You know, I can't do anything. It's going to change what's going on right now and how people look at each other. That's not true. The little things really matter. I mean, just simple things. Uplift someone, even if it's just something minor.
One little conversation can change somebody's life. Something that you say on the show this afternoon, or we're saying right now, can make somebody, or just simply saying, look into the Federal Reserve and the word Illuminati on YouTube and tell me what you see and if you think that's real or not.
Well, let me...
I wanted to say was, you had talked about how our spirits and our words can make a difference for somebody. And it's funny you said that, because yesterday on the Full Armor Friday show that we do, I played a clip that's floating around on the internet, and it's Phil Roberts, the father, the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty reality family that created the Duck Call. And what a lot of people don't realize is he speaks at business seminars and at churches and at public events about how we need God back in the courthouses and in the schools, and he's speaking in California, mocking the people, joking with them, saying, you know, take a look at that, California. In other words, because California is the land of sin, so to speak. But what he was saying is, he starts his speech, which is, this thing's like 15, 20 minutes long, the bulk of what he says, and we played this yesterday, and every time we play it, it blows people's minds, because he's talking about, he says, back when I used to answer the phone rings. He goes, this guy's ordering a duck call from Alabama. And in the process of ordering this duck call, he uses the GD word about 5 or 6 times in this phone call. And I interrupted him and I said, why would you want to take the name of your creator, the one that can give you life or decides whether your soul goes on, whatever? Why would you do that? And the man hangs up on him and then calls him back or whatever, and he says, I'm the guy, you know, who took the Lord's name in vain. He says, listen, why don't I give you my address, and if you're ever around, you come on over and we'll talk about this. Click, he hangs up on the guy. Well, he says, a few days later, there's a knock on his door. And these guys come in and say, hey, do you know who I am? And he says, no, I don't believe I ever met you. He says, I'm the guy who was taking the Lord's name in vain on the telephone. And he goes, oh, I see you took me up on my offer. Come on in. And he said, yeah, well, I had to know. I got to know the truth and what... the bottom of what you were saying. He goes, I brought these two grown men into my living room and I'm going to tell them, I told them what I'm going to tell you now. And you know what they did?
What'd they do?
They cried. He said, they cried, and I said to him, you want to go on down to the river and I'll dunk you like they did back in the day. And so we went on down to the river, and we come back from the river, and these guys are soaking wet, and me and Miss K, my lovely wife, said, do you want us to dry your clothes for you? And give? And they're like, no, we're good. And down the road they went. Well, 17 years went by. And Miss K tells me I got to do a speech over in Alabama. And I go over to Alabama, and one of the people there asked me if I'd like to have something to eat. And he says, I don't usually eat at these events. But he goes, well, we got some filet mignons in the back. And I said, oh, well, you should have said that. So, because I ain't turning down filet mignon. And the audience is laughing. He goes, so I'm back there eating a steak, and I'm about to go do my talk, and a gentleman says to me, do you remember a guy who called your company ordering a duck to call, taking the Lord's name in vain? And he says, yeah, they were from Alabama, right? And he goes, well, them two men are the men who started this church.
Wow. That's cool.
So, you know, and then he goes on to talk about sin and how we're all guilty, and that he was once a sinner, but once you accept that gift of grace, because we're all filthy rags, once you do, Jesus is like your attorney that can get you a full pardon. Basically, he is, you're either under the law or through his grace your sins are not forgotten. Now why wouldn't people want to take him up on that? You know, what's wrong with this world, he's saying. But it's a beautiful thing that, if you want me to play it for you, it's really
fine.
Touching.
It's fine. I'll listen to it later. It just...
All right, I'll link you up.
There's so many wonderful stories in this world, and, you know, I'm not afraid to admit that I shed a tear. If I see a movie, and one of the movies that I saw here recently was about a little boy, and it was called Pay It Forward.
Yeah, great movie. And that's what we're all doing.
And what inspired me the most about this movie wasn't necessarily what the kid did. That was incredible what the kid did, what he was trying to accomplish, and that his teacher got him motivated to do this to begin with. But what inspired me the most was the very last part of the movie, when you've seen all of these candles coming in from all over the city. I mean, they were just pouring in. That,
well, you know what?
That, hold on. That one scene of all of humanity coming together for one cause is what this network is all about. All of those candles lit up. All of those people pouring in to honor what that child did was what this network is all about. And I believe that by us doing what we're doing, we are paying it forward. You don't have to pay it forward with money. You can pay it forward with a smile. You can pay it forward with some peace, hope, and love. You can pay it forward with some positive information. You can pay it forward by the things that you say, the things that you do, the way that you conduct your life. And this is the ripple that I keep talking about. That you throw that positive ripple in the pond, it affects every living soul on this planet. That's power, and it comes from, in my belief, our God.
I want to paint a picture in people's minds when you were saying all those candles coming together, becoming one light. When we've seen what I figure was a UFO, and the reason that I think that it's not one of our own is because our cats were terrified. We had cats at the time, and we're living in Providence, on the outskirts in Cranston, in Annie's family's house. And when we saw this UFO that looked like a giant star, not moving at all, it was the biggest star in the sky, and we were outside watching the Leonard meteor shower at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm standing there looking at this star that's glowing with a haze around it, bigger than anything else in the sky. And it's a star. It's not moving. I'm just standing there smoking a cigarette, and Annie comes out, and we're standing there, and it's cold, and I can breathe and see my breath, and I'm looking at it, and then all of a sudden it starts to blink and move forward, and now it's going red, white, red, white, and it's moving forward over me really slow, like it looks like an airplane now, and then it stops, turns totally white again, and goes backwards out of the galaxy at about what must have been a million miles an hour, just boom, 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 in two or three seconds it was gone. It had gone straight up and backwards and gone. Well, we went in the house, and our cats are hiding underneath the couch, and when I'm like, I can hear them growling, like, oh, and I try to grab one out, and it clawed me and ran in the bedroom and went under the bed and continued to be frightened and all. So I think those might have been interdimensional demonic things. But the point I was trying to make is when I see a UFO in the sky or something that I know is moving and it's not a star or it's blinking or strobing red, white, and blue like them bubblegum-like ones that I've seen before, like a police light. When you see that, and if it's that far away, what you got to realize is what you're looking at, just like when you look at a satellite picture of the United States at night, you'll see the areas that are a city are all lit up like in a block. You're not seeing every little light because you're seeing it from so far away. So New York or something looks like one big light. So what I'm saying is, as us as a human, when you look up in the sky and see a giant star that's flying, a UFO or a mothership or whatever you think it is, what you're really seeing is not one big bright star-like thing. That thing must have thousands of lights all over it. And all of us are those thousands of lights coming together. And I'm not quoting George Herbert Walker, A Thousand Points of Light. But in a way, we can take that. We can do that same thing.
The feeling that I wanted to get from what I was saying was like, you know, I keep saying, you know, you take your family for granted, you take your friends for granted, and you never know when something's going to happen. And it's a shame that sometimes it takes a tragedy to bring a family together. But when that family comes together, something amazing happens. People are feeding one another. People are asking one another whether or not they need anything, or are you all right, you know, giving hugs and sharing support and love.
Well, like 9/11, when everybody rushed down there to help find survivors.
Yeah, but see, it should not take a tragedy to bring this world together. And I'm not talking about under some one world religion or under some one world government or anything. I'm talking about with what we've been given, you know, until the end shows up, we have all this that we got to do. We don't know. The end may not happen for the next 1,000 years or more. You know, who knows? Nobody knows. But in the meantime, you know, we can't sit around and waste any time when our world is deteriorating at a rapid rate, because the path that we are on is heading for sure destruction, whether you believe in conspiracies or not, you know, whether you believe in aliens or whatever. All you have to do is look out into the world and see the direction that we are going is the wrong direction, and it only leads to one place. You know what I'm saying?
Something really dysfunctional is at the top of that pyramid, and we need to overcome that.
Well, and if you think about this for a second, if you look at a pyramid, you go all the way up to the point, the tip top of the pyramid, the capstone, so to speak. The capstone isn't there by itself. It is held up by the base, and the base is huge. It's massive. We are literally holding above our heads all these people who are destroying our world.
Yep. So on three, everybody bolt in a different direction.
Exactly.
And let them crash.
Exactly. Look, guys.
Ready? One.
I want it. Three.
Two.
I want to play a quick song for my lady and take a quick break. Is that all right?
All righty. Sounds good, brother.
All right. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
I'm Bill Annie's Coffee IB.
All right,
stay
cool.
tuned. In 45 minutes, we're going to keep this Saturday party going.
Great stuff. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned. This one here is from my lady.
You may think that I'm talking foolish. You've heard that I'm wild and I'm free. You may wonder how I can promise you now. This love that I feel for you always will be. Well, you're not just time that I'm killing. I'm no longer one of those guys. As sure as I live, this love that I give is gonna be yours until the day that I die. Oh baby, I'm gonna love you forever. Forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather. As long as old women sit and talk about old men. If you wonder how long I'll be faithful, I'll be happy to tell you again. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, forever and ever. Takes its toll on the body, makes the young girl's brown hair turn gray. Well, honey, I don't care, I ain't in love with your hair. And if it all fell out, well, I'd love you anyway. They say time can play tricks on memory, make people forget things they knew. It's happening to me. I've already forgotten every woman but you. Oh darling, I'm gonna love you forever. Forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather. As long as old women sit and talk about old men. If you wonder how long I'll be faithful, just listen to how this song ends. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, forever and ever.
Lord, help me today. Show me the way. one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Stealing, violence and crime. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way.
Just the other night, at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I'd wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams, and I could tell the time changed me in her eyes too, it seemed. We tried to talk about the old days, there wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. Well, I looked at my wife, and then and there I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, and just because he may not answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered. Some of God's greatest gifts are all too often unanswered. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
You know, the amazing thing about Hope's show to me is the fact that, you know, we talk about how uplifting individuals out there in the world, it's, you know, sometimes I don't think people get the gravity of the whole thing, you know. I've had lots of friends that come to me and they'll tell me things like, you know, hey, you know, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm stupid. And I'll say, look, brother, sister, don't talk down to yourself like that, because you are worth so much more. And in my eyes, you're beautiful. You know, it's not about the outer appearance. And it's a shame that society has put it on to all the children of the world. You have to look like this. You have to dress like this. You have to conform to what a society thinks that you should be in order to be you. No, I don't want what society wants you to be. I want what you want you to be. I want to see you as you were designed, as you were created. I want my brothers and sisters around the world to have faith in themselves. I believe from my religion, my beliefs, my book of its guidebook to life, if you ask me. But if I want people to understand the gifts that they have been given and how valuable they are. There's a parable in there that Jesus talked about, and you mentioned it earlier, Rick. You said about the wheat and the chaff. And they were asking Jesus, you know, should we go out there and cut down
the weeds? Or,
yeah, should we go down and pick the weeds? And he said, no, just let them grow right alongside the wheat, because in the process of cutting down the weeds, you're liable to cut down one of the harvest, you know, one of the wheat. And so, with that said, there's still hope out there for even the worst possible character, you know. I've seen movies out there where a person, the bad guy of the movie, he does all these terrible things throughout the entire movie, but at some point, something is laid on his heart, and he sees that there's a child in danger or there's a family in danger, and he will literally put himself on the line in order to make sure that family isn't harmed in any way. And so, with that said, there's still hope even in the worst case scenario. You see where I'm coming from?
I forgot the name of the movie, but you were talking about Pay It Forward.
Yeah.
Around that time when that came out, there was this freaky movie that showed things in a style, the way that Pulp Fiction is broken up into different past, present, and different scenes. So it was kind of hard to follow. But one of the scenes was this cop and his buddy, and they pull over a couple. And while they're searching this couple, this one cop puts his hand up the lady's dress and touches her inappropriately. Well, at the end of the movie, what they're showing you is she gets in a car accident, and her car is upside down on the road. And who's the guy who comes to unseatbelt her out and pull her out of that car?
Yeah, I seen that movie.
That's upside down. And after he pulls her out and gets her away from the car, all of a sudden the dripping gasoline ignites and the car explodes into flames. And at the moment that she's in need and she's bleeding in that car wreck, when she sees him saying, "It's okay, ma'am, we're going to help you," and they recognize who each other's is, she's like somewhat full of terror, because you're the guy who molested me that night right in front of my husband, because you could. But then at the same time, he's the one who's, if he wasn't there saving her life, she would have been seatbelted into that car when it exploded. So it's like a morality tale that even a person from a bad family or the wrong side of the tracks, like John Todd, came forward and changed everything, exposing everything, even at the cost of being ritually sacrificed in the end of his life. Settled, put in prison, and then a mental institution, and then they took him somewhere and did some things we don't even want to think about to make an example out of him.
I know that from my beliefs that we all, each and every individual out here, are capable of both. We're capable of the worst atrocities, the worst evil. We are capable of the best and the most powerful love in the history of time. But therein lies the free will. You know, when you are born, you are you were born innocent to some extent, but you are by, you know, the way you're raised or by the way society is around you, you know, guided in one direction or another. And by guiding our youth into to the right direction, we can literally change the world in that sense as well. But you have a choice. Every day when you wake up, I say this all the time, you have a clean slate. The sun came up, you got a whole new day. You can either repeat the mistakes of yesterday, or you can go on to do something better to make the world a better place for not only you, but your family and the world in general. So there's a whole lot of power in there. There's free will. There's a choice that you got to make on a daily basis, whether or not you want to, you know, be a wise guy and give that guy a finger on the side of the, you know, highway as you're driving by knowing he can't touch you or whatever, you know. You got
you're hiding behind a keyboard, yeah, acting like a jerk off in the chat, yeah, room, being a troll, making fun of people.
So, with that said, those
cowards,
choices,
man,
those
these
choices,
Illuminati people, man, they gotta hide in the shadows because we do outnumber them, and they're cowards, man.
Yeah.
And hearing what you said about us being candles and light all coming together, if they are really not the illuminated ones, and we are the true illuminated children of God, all these light.
We are
then all we got to do is put all of our light together and shine it on the darkness, and they're done.
We got to do like you said. We are the base of the pyramid holding up the capstone, and the only way that they can stay up there is if we, as the base of the pyramid, allow them and we support them. So, hey, everybody on the count of three, run in opposite direction and watch the...
And it'll come down like those Twin Towers, man. And fall at a free fall speed. Let's show them.
But there you go. We're talking about this stuff that may sound crazy to most, but it also is a prime example of hope. There, you
state
know,
of mind. All you're talking about is a state of mind.
Yeah, but all is
Jesus
not.
What Jesus talking about is a state of mind.
I agree, but all is not lost. You see what I'm saying?
No, it's a good thing. That's the thing that I take out of it, and I say a lot. Listen, what if we weren't born onto a planet that had a tempter like Satan, an adversary, and everything was perfect? We wouldn't see how we could all grow together and understand the love and forgiveness of our Father had we not strayed, and everybody, this world wasn't what it is. So I'm not blessing the New World Order by any means. But what I'm saying is, because of this adversary, we have all been allowed a chance to stand up and show the world what we're made of and come together to be all those bits of light, creating one giant light that darkness cannot survive in front of.
Yeah, we support evil by basically, you know,
doing nothing.
Yeah. So, you know, with that said, I'm looking for something that I need to play for you because it's a pretty profound... pretty profound speech, and it's got a really good message in there if I can find it. What in the heck was
I'm
that?
I'm just kidding. That was Free Will by Rush. I will choose free will. At 1 o'clock, we'll start with that song. That goes out to Shaz and all the people coming together.
All right. I'm going to have to listen to that show because it's going to be exciting.
Oh, you're on it. You ain't leaving. We hung out with you all morning. You ain't going anywhere. You got to at least stay for the first half hour, and then you can go up.
All right. Well, remember, I still,
the garage
I
the
still have to upload podcasts and stuff.
Yes.
So I'm looking for this one particular deal here. But in the meantime, you know, hey, we're talking about hope, all right? And anytime you can put hope in the heart of any individual out there, you're not doing wrong, you know? You think about it. You got your free will. You got your choice. You can... You know, somebody makes you mad, you can punch them in the nose. You can do that. But you know what? If you punch them in the nose, what did you do? What did you accomplish by punching them in the nose? All you did...
Actually, what they accomplished was that's on them.
Oh, yeah,
you're
but
not
you...
going to be judged by things that other people you, do to you. So
I know, but
go.
I'm saying your reactions. Because remember when Jesus talked about turning the other cheek?
Right.
Now, your reactions are going to create other reactions. You know, you punch this guy in the nose, you may beat him up, but his cousin might beat you up or his brother.
My first reaction when somebody does something rotten to me is I think about, man, what's, how am I going to defend myself or go after them if they should go any further than what they went? But in time, I let it go.
Well,
because if I would have went after everybody who screwed me over in life, there'd be a lot of dead people out there, you know? And then it would be on me. Or I'd be in prison because I went after somebody who ripped me off or screwed me over.
Well, that's the point I'm talking about. I'm not saying, like, you should not, like, defend yourself. You should defend yourself. But what,
right.
but what I'm talking about is essential. Knowing that for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So whatever you do, you know, if you exceed the power, like, you know, police, they have a level that they're supposed to go by, but we all know they don't. They only supposed to match force with force, and anything above, you know, defending yourself is now assault. You see where I'm coming from?
Right, yeah.
Listen to this deal. This is from Paul Harvey. It's 3 minutes and 22 seconds long. But listen to what...
I remember him, man.
Listen,
he was the king of the dramatic pause.
Yeah, but listen to what... Listen to what he says right here and tell me if this doesn't match what we've been talking about.
If I were the devil... If I were the devil... If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Now, send me that, Chad. I want to use that on our show now and then. Send me that. Send it to Annie's computer, Annie Skype.
I will do that.
Cool. Well,
but anyway...
And she sent you that Desiderata thing, too, and the... Phil Robertson thing, when you hear that, make sure you got some Kleenex nearby.
Yeah, I can't upload and download while I'm broadcasting, but I will get that after. But anyway, what he said, think about this. You know, you don't have to be a believer to understand that what he's talking about is what we're seeing in society. You know, our kids are being indoctrinated. Our kids are going to school that are more like prisons than they are school. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's a shame because, you know, it's like a it's like an abusive family. You know, if you got a father and a mother, or a father or a mother, either or, abusing a child and the other one, you know, allowing it to go on, and that child grows up, when that child has their own children, guess what they're going to do? They're going to repeat the same cycle that their parents did. You know, I get mad at my child, so the way to fix that is I punch my child in the face or whatever, you know, beat him with a coat hanger. You know, and think about this. It don't stop until we stop that. Until we break that chain, that cycle of terror. You know, these children are going to grow up, and they're going to keep repeating history over and over and over again. And then it's just going to continue on down the line. To me, becoming truly enlightened isn't about some new age religion. To me, becoming truly enlightened is to understand that every action that you make has a consequence to it, you know, and that you have a capability of, with your voice, with the power of the pen, the power of the spoken word, the power of your actions or whatever, you have the capability of making a difference in the world. Your choice is now, what difference are you going to make? Are you going to do harm, or are you going to do good? And this is what Shaziz Radio is all about. This is what Awake Radio, No Borders, Shake and Wake Radio, this is what all these networks are all about. Does anybody here disagree with that in the least?
No.
Not at all.
No, 100% accurate. In fact, since we all joined you today, nothing that was said on this network
was... Can I say
something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Since I've been listening to your show, you've been, like, influencing me in the most positive ways, and thank you.
Well, you know what? That brings a tear to my eye and makes me happy.
Well, I'm glad I can do that. Same here.
You know, as with all things, the energy that we put out increases by the more people that put that same energy out. So, as we see in our world right now, it's full of negative energy because people keep perpetrating the negative energy. We have to change that, and we have to flip it around.
Yeah.
And start pushing that positive energy and make that positive energy part
we
of
our... We already did, man, this morning. And in 15 minutes from now, we'll have more positive energy for a few hours with some great music and good conversation right here on Shake and Wake and Shaziz Radio.
Well,
that's right.
You.
And cool. not just us, you know, everyone.
And then somebody else is going to grab the stream, hopefully, and there'll be some more good vibrations.
Let Rick finish. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I'm just saying, though, you know, I mean, and people really feel right now that they're powerless, and that's not true. We are amazing creatures. We are amazing beings. And we can do anything that we put our mind to if we have faith and the belief that it's possible. So push that positive energy out, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter what your circumstance is. Do not let go of that positive energy and give it to everyone that you come across.
Amen, brother. I'll tell you what, you know, it's, you know, I've said it so many times before about the positive pebble. If you just literally sit back and you visualize that happening in your head, if you throw out negativity, you're going to get back negativity. If you throw out positivity, you're going to get back positivity. What is it that you want? Do you want a negative world, or do you want a positive world? You can change the world with something as simple as a smile. And so with that said, that is where your power lies, the power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your actions. In my belief, it comes from my God. It comes from my Redeemer, you know, and that's for me, all right? Well, however you look at it, whether it be, you know, with your own personal New Age beliefs or whatever religion that you are, it's neither here nor there. All I'm saying is that we are all in the same boat. Each and every one of us are in the same boat. And if you allow your brother or your sister to jump off that bridge or to take them pills or to cut that vein, you lose a huge piece of you that can never be replaced. And so what we want to do here is to empower anybody out there who's listening to not only believe in themselves, but to get up and do something to make your world and everyone's world a better place. You know, if you think your life is such trash and you can't do nothing at all, if you get up and at least try, you help an old lady across the street, you put a piece of bread in a hungry person's mouth, you know, you put a blanket over somebody, you are making the world a better place just by that simple action. If you walk down the road and you smile upon somebody you don't even know, you may never even see them again. That smile will carry across to their face and on to somebody else's face and so on down the line. Do you guys see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can do this thing, and we are doing this thing. You know, I know there are so many people out there listening in on radios, listening in on mobile devices and stuff, and I know there's a lot of people that might not want to come up in the chat room. Maybe they don't want to put their information in to log into the chat room. Just
don't be afraid. No fear. Come on. They know who we are, so time to speak is now.
If you believe in what we're saying, you know, it doesn't have to be our network that you go through. Go through somebody else's network that you feel more comfortable. If you look in the shows and hosts, you'll find a link that's to alternative radio networks. And there are players up there for those radio networks. And if anybody out there has a radio network that they need listed on there, I will list it on there, because it doesn't matter to me whether you get the information from me or you get the information for somebody. As long as somebody's out there spreading a positive message that we are not weak, that we do have possibilities, we have capabilities above and beyond all that we have been indoctrinated in to believe, then I will post them on there. If you got a link to a charity that you need to be done, I will put it on our website. Anything that you want to do that is positive towards making this world a better place, Shaziz Radio is the platform. It's not, this radio station isn't about me, and it is not my radio station. If you bring your network on here, your network is combined with my network. We're that much stronger for it, but it's your radio network. This Shaziz Radio is a platform. It's a place that everybody can come. They can discover alternative energy, alternative medicine, alternative to everything, rediscover old technologies, lost and suppressed or whatever. But to get together to actually have the round table, like the Knights of the Round Table, where everyone has a voice, everyone has a choice what to do in order to make this world a better place. That is what the whole picture is all about. The Knights of the Round Table, you are a knight. You are the dames, you are the pages, you are the people who actually come to that table and make the difference in the world. This is just the platform. This isn't about me. This isn't about you. It's about all of us. It's about what kind of world that you want to leave for your children. Anybody got anything on that?
No, I'm just total agreement.
I mean, you know, what harm is there in love? You know, I can't find it.
No.
But
it's not there.
By loving a brother or sister and putting food or clothes or shelter on the needy, you're not doing wrong. You can't do wrong by helping somebody out. You know, that's all there is to it.
I mean, uplift people, please.
And, you know, you got access to Facebook, you got access to YouTube, all kinds of social networks out there. We know these guys are spying on us, so what? Hi, NSA, hi, TSA, DA, FBI, CIA,
hell, you guys.
All you guys.
That, right?
No, you got to love them too, man. They're lost. Don't even stress over it, but they're lost. You know, but here's the thing. While they're spying on us, we're sitting there telling them we love them. We're sitting there saying, hi, you know, how's it going? Hope you're enjoying the show, that kind of deal.
But hey, help us listen in on the elite, and we'll pardon you. Yeah. Come over to our side. We'll give you immunity.
If you believe in what we're saying and you share on your social networks, you say, hey, look, you know, I was over at Awake Radio the other day, and the things that they were talking about, you know, I think you need to hear. Come on over there and take a listen, you know. It's Shazizz Radio, No Borders Radio. Get in them chat rooms, get involved, because the world doesn't fix itself. You know, we have to fix it. You know, as far as nature-wise, you know, earth, trees, and all that kind of stuff, nature will shake us off like a bad set of fleas. But what I'm saying, as far as humanity-wise, and the decline, the deterioration of what we what we want as a society. You know, we have to fix that. We have the tools to take care of one another. We are the caretakers of everything that's around us. We're the servants to one another. And until we get that through our head, and until we start acting on that, yeah, we are our brother's keeper.
The shepherds. We're supposed to be a good shepherd like our brother, our father, and brother. Yeshua Jesus was. He was showing us how to walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yeah, and even if somebody...
And how faith through all things, you know, Jesus could do what he did because he had faith in the creation, the creator, his father, himself. Because he was God as in a man's body. So what did he really believe in? What was he really sacrificing? Himself.
Well, take an example from Jesus' parable about the weeds and the chaff, you know. Take weeds and the wheat, you know. Take an example from that, because if you're going to go out there and start cutting down everything out there, you're going to take away their possible chance of redemption by you leading by example. If you lead your life by example and you show the people out there that are around your circle that, you know, by living this lifestyle, I don't even have to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus, because I'm going to try to live my life the best I can. And when somebody comes to me and they say, "Why is your life so wonderful?" I will tell them what my beliefs are. I will tell them. And if they like what they've seen, they will adopt that, as opposed to me going out there and saying, "Look, you're going to burn in hell if you don't believe what I say, or doomsday's right around the corner. Buy your generators, buy your bunkers, because if you don't, you're going to die," you know. To heck with all that, you know. Live your life the best you possibly can. Lead by example, and those who are out there who are lost are more apt to follow. And for the NSA and the TSA and the CIA out there, when all heck hits the fan, you got to understand your family, your children, and your mothers and sisters and brothers, they're all on the same boat we're on. So when you trash it, they go down and they suffer right alongside of us. And that is the way that our Creator designed it, and it is up to us to fix it. What do you guys think about that?
Absolutely. You know, forgiveness is crucial.
I totally agree. That's why suicide
is crucial.
I mean, that's even why suicide is a sin. Because if you take yourself out, then you're no longer here for someone you might have saved tomorrow from killing themselves.
Yeah. That one little cog in the machine, that one little gear. Without that one little gear, society suffers. And so we are all the gears that make this massive, beautiful machine function the way that it should. And so by taking a life or taking your own life, you just messed up the machine. You made it harder on everyone out there, and you cheated yourself, and you cheated all of humanity of what it means to be you.
And you can't go back and fix it.
No,
so
you can't.
So that might be kind of like a hell you got to live with. Because when you do that, there's no turning back. Just like when you take another person's life, you can't say, "Oh, mistake." You can't take it back.
I want everyone out there who's listening to my voice to humor me long enough just to write down one word on the wall or on a chalkboard or on a piece of paper. Just write down one single word, and then. As you go through your life and you do all the things that you do in your daily life, I want you to every once in a while take a peek over there at that one single word, and then someday come back here on Beverly's show and tell her what that one word means to you. And that word is hope. Write that word down. Write it down now.
If this was a word association, the first word that popped into my head is faith, which is better than hope. Faith can be knowing that you're going to be delivered or your prayers will be answered.
Yeah, but in my
book... You're not hoping anymore. You are... In my book,
hope leads to faith, because those out there who are lost, if they have no hope, they have no faith. And so you, if you want to pull those weeds up out of being weeds and bring them into being wheat, then you give them all the hope that you can muster up. And whenever they start seeing what life is like on your side of the fence, they're going to come to faith. And that's a given. And so with that said, you know, write that word down. Because hope's a four-letter word. There's a lot of other four-letter words that aren't so pretty, but love's a four-letter word. It's amazing. Go look up the number four. You might be surprised at what you find. But either way, you know, it's neither here nor there. We're all in the same boat. We all need hope. We all need one another. We all need love. And this is what these networks are all about. So with that said, we're coming down to the last 4 minutes of the show, and I want to give everybody their last word. You know, what do you got?
Shoot, I got to fire up my back, so I forgot that we're going to do a handoff. Go ahead, Rick, you talk. I got to do this.
Yeah, it is all about hope, I think. And I think everyone out there needs to embrace the light and stop concentrating on the negative energy. Start pushing out that positive energy. Like you say, Shaziz, one positive pebble. And just keep it going, because that ripple effect will take over the world. Believe in yourselves.
Yeah, and you know, you couldn't have said it any better, brother. I'm telling you, you know. And like I was trying to point out, when it come down to all those people with all those candles coming in there to do that, that's this network. That is People From Awake and No Borders and We Roar and Shake and Wake and all the different radio networks out there. We are the candles that are coming in for this cause that we believe in, which is making the world a better place for our children. Because no man knows the time or day of their death or the doomsday or whatever. It's going to come like a thief in the night. It's going to come at the worst possible time ever in the history of time. And in the meantime, what we should be doing is getting our house in order. And I believe that that's what the Hope Show represents, is getting our house in order. And so with that said, I'm going to throw a song on there that I think is pretty cool. And thank you, Rick and Annie. And peace and love to all of y'all. This has been a wonderful show. You guys take care. All right, guys. That was a great show. I'm going to go ahead and take leave of you for a few minutes. If the other Rick wants me on the show for a little while, I can do that for a little while, but I got to get these podcasts up. This was a good podcast.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Much love to you, my friend.
Love you guys.
All right. Talk to you later.